sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my treat.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the one country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing this evening? Beautiful day at the farmer's market, wasn't it? I had just such a lovely time. I went to the Sebastopol market today. The Santa Rosa original farmer's market also took place today. Hope that you didn't go up yesterday and got disappointed. They had to shift. Every now and then they have to shift their day if the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts has previously booked something. So that's what's up with that. I'm really excited about tonight's show. It's something I've wanted to do for a long time, and it's also a topic I've touched on now and then in the context of other shows. It is the Petaluma Gap. It is a wine growers area. I have three people from the Petaluma Gap Wine Growers Alliance. There is an event coming up next Saturday at 6:30 at the Mystic Theater, and we will be talking about that. But first, just a little bit about the area itself. We'll go into the geography, but the area does include Lakeville. And if you've listened to the show for long, you know that I talk about Lakeville now and then and very much love it. For a long time, it was dairy country, and it still is to some degree dairy country and lamb country. There are grapes out there now as well. I lived there for 8 years, raised my little girls to preteens while we were there, attended Sonoma State and was studying Thomas Hardy at the time. And that area, whenever I drive through it, I think of Thomas Hardy's fictional Wessex County. To me, that whole area there on the, I guess it would be the northwestern edge of San Pablo Bay, and there with the river as well, Petaluma River as well, which isn't a true river. It's just Wessex County to me, and I really love it. So I am very honored and excited to have Christopher Herrera.
Hello.
Paul Clary.
Hi.
And Mike Loomis.
Hello.
From Petaluma. So thanks, guys, and you did this on really short notice, so which is just great. What I want to do is just, we'll start with you, Christopher. Tell me where you are located in the Petaluma Gap and what it is you're doing there. We'll just go around.
I live in Pengrove currently. Right now I work for a wine distributor. I also come from a family of wine growers. My grandpa currently has right around 18 acres planted of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay.
And where's the vineyard?
They're out in Sebastopol, right off Robla Road and Blank Road.
So kind of
the western part of the Petaluma Gap.
This is Paul.
I planted my vineyard 5 miles due west of Petaluma, between Middle Two Rock Road and Spring Hill Road.
Oh, you're out there. That to me is still Hardy country.
Yeah, the Petaluma Gap geographically runs from Bodega Bay over to Pengrove, down to San Pablo Bay alongside the Sonoma Mountain, and then crosses the Marin County line back out to Bodega. So it's kind of a unique area that is probably defined most by wind, which we'll get into later.
Right, yeah, the famous, what is it, Petaluma Express, I think I sometimes hear it called.
Absolutely.
Yes, and so you planted your, and what do you grow?
I planted my vineyard, a total of 15 acres, to mostly Pinot Noir and Syrah.
Okay, great. And Mike?
Well, I am one of the fortunate people. I don't have to work as hard as these guys do. I'm on kind of the I just get to enjoy the wine, and so I'm a consumer of the Petaluma Gap wines. And I do have some grapes growing in the backyard, but mostly just for fun and making wine at home.
Home winemaker, cool. And where is home?
On Middle Two Rock, just down the street from Paul's.
Okay, yeah, that's place. Such a great area out there. Really hasn't seen the sort of, not much development really at all.
No.
I mean, McClellan Ranch, I'm real familiar. There's a number of ranches. And I've heard that there's a large olive ranch out there now.
Salt and Stall.
Yes, yes.
That's on Spring Hill Road.
Okay, yeah.
Down in Chelino Valley.
Oh, it's down in Chelino Valley.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And there's also olive trees on Lakeville Road now. Up on the hill.
Keller Estate.
Last year. Yeah. So anyway, it's a big region. Coming back to you, Mike, you mostly enjoy. What's your favorite?
You know, to me, I kind of look forward to Friday nights. Get out of work, go home, fire up the barbecue, get a tri-tip on the grill, and open up a Petaluma Gap Syrah.
I knew you were going to say Syrah. If you're cooking tri-tip, that's what
you
want to open up.
Yeah, the peppery flavor of the Syrah, just, you know, cut a nice piece of steak, and some Syrah.
Now, you poured something in my glass before we started.
I did. We opened up a bottle of the 2007 Clary Ranch Pinot, Southern Coast.
Really,
Sonoma Coast.
Really pretty bouquet. Really, really pretty. That sounds good, and it tastes good. So one of the characteristics, I would say, of Petaluma Gap, and I should say Petaluma Gap is not yet a viticultural area, and there's not an application in yet. Do you think there ever will be?
I think it's in our future, but to go for an AVA... When our current AVA is Sonoma Coast. Sonoma Coast has a lot of economic value.
Mm.
Petaluma Gap, we're at the point of we're trying to develop name recognition before going for the AVA, as opposed to a place like Pine Mountain, which went for an AVA, and I have no idea where it is.
So yeah, me neither.
It doesn't mean anything to me that they got an AVA, but it costs about a $50,000 process.
Oh, really?
And to give you an idea of the Petaluma Gap Wine Grower Alliance's budget, we operate on about $10,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. And there's how many, about 15 wineries there?
Chris knows better than I.
Wineries were about 8.
Okay.
We have more wine growers than wineries currently.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, right now we're about 8. Actual physical wineries located inside the Petaluma Gap.
Okay.
A lot of the wine producers, myself included, are what's known as not a type 2, but I can't remember the name. But basically, we produce our wine at somebody else's winery.
Mm-hmm.
So I grow the grapes, I make the wine, but I use somebody else's winery. I'm not allowed to have a tasting room.
Right.
So that's one of the... There's a number of producers in the Petaluma Gap that are like me.
And a lot of very well-known producers that are well-known now started that way. I mean, I think back, since we're talking about Pinot Noir, think back to Gary Farrell.
Yeah.
You know, Gary Farrell made his wine at Davis Bynum for a really long time. And, you know, I saw the chart he had to fill out. So whenever when he was working with grapes that were going to be Davis Bynum, he had to fill out this form. And then when he switched over to make his own wine, he had to fill out this form and was really, really chucked by the feds. So, and he couldn't have a tasting room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's quite common.
That's one of the things that we struggle against in the Petaluma Gap. And one of the reasons why we've gone and just been this week approved for our nonprofit 501c6 status, so that we'll be able to put on events where we can both have tastings and sell wine.
Oh, great. Great. Get the word out there a little bit more.
So it came a little bit late to be able to sell wine for the winter wine soiree, but it is in our future. Mm-hmm. And going back to the AVA, it is in our future. We're laying the groundwork. We figure going for an AVA before getting name recognition is putting the cart before the horse.
Sure. Sure, especially since Sonoma Coast. And Sonoma Coast is getting more and more recognition.
Yeah. Sonoma Coast means something to a consumer in Manhattan.
Right.
If you Google Petaluma wine, your first hit is something in Australia.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's when you used to... 10 years ago, if you Googled California olive oil, you got this company in Boston.
Yeah.
So, yeah, name confusion. Let's talk a little bit about the characteristics of the wines from Petaluma Gap. Cool climate, as Sonoma Coast would indicate, because that's one of the things that most... Not all of Sonoma... Sonoma Coast is pretty big.
Yeah.
But true Sonoma Coast, it's a cool climate.
Absolutely. Like I was saying, the defining characteristic that sets Petaluma Gap apart is the wind. You've got a break in the coastal range, which is what the Petaluma Gap refers to. It's a gap in the coastal range. You've got mountains in Sonoma to the north, mountains in Marin to the south. And through that gap, the maritime influences penetrates through to San Pablo Bay and curls up towards Bennett Valley. What wind does is it shuts down sugar production while allowing flavor metabolism to continue. So you slow down that sugar production while you get flavor development. So you've got a longer period of time for flavors to develop. So typically you've got more flavor in a Petaluma Gap Pinot Noir than you get in even a Carneros or, God forbid, a Napa Pinot Noir.
And you also have, I assume that you're having lower, alcohol.
Lower because alcohol.
Because with lower sugar, you lower alcohol.
And higher natural acidity.
Mm-hmm, right. And those are the characteristics that I think for a while California wine sort of lost. We were talking about that a little bit last week when we had... Jeff Kruth, the wine director for Farmhouse Inn, he was talking about how he felt California wine lost their way for a while. And I just thought that the wines got too big, that they were grappling with that 17% increase in sugar that related. You know, I don't want to drink a 15 to 17% wine.
Unless you want a port.
Yeah, and that's a different... I'm not going to drink port with my dinner, you know. And it decreases the food friendliness, which is part of my interest.
Right.
And you can't drink as much.
Also, when you let the sugars get that high, typically your acidity is going to drop.
Right,
which
yes.
is going to make it less food friendly.
Yeah. And it takes away... I find it takes away that quality that I call penescence. I coined a word. It's that beautiful, floral... almost erotic aroma that nothing but Pinot Noir has it. And if a Pinot is over-extracted, if the sugar's too high, it's gone. But when it's there, it makes the most beautiful wine in the world. And that's what I found in the... I've been to one or two tastings of Petaluma Gap wines, and I found Pinots that have that quality. And to me, that's one of the most special qualities in wine. I really love it. So... Let's go back to you, Christopher. So it's your grandfather that has the vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us some more details about what he's growing.
Right now we have Pinot and Chardonnay, and we're kind of more the Dijon clone, so 667, 777, 115, and I think that's it for clone base. But we're kind of on the northern edge of the Petaluma Gap.
Right, you said so southern, south, eastern Sebastopol. So Blank Road, that area.
So we're kind of right, 3 o'clock, the wind kicks on right there, and we can kind of feel the, come springtime, you'll start to feel that wind and the fog start to...
Fog rolls
yep,
in,
start
absolutely.
Start coming in, and it really cools off, so it'll be, a nice 70, 80 degree day, and then all of a sudden it's dropping to 60 degrees like that, and it's almost like every day, it's the air conditioning flips on. Mother Nature, running its course, so it's
why I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, the vineyard is done really well.
Now, do you make wine or sell the grapes?
Yeah, he sells the grapes to a company called Flowers.
Oh, Flowers! Yeah. I know Flowers very well, and I know their Sonoma Coast wine. So, is that a lot of what they're getting is from your grandfather?
Yeah, they've been working with them for quite a few years now. Mm-hmm. So most of the fruit, or actually all the fruit, goes to Flowers right now. I make a little home wine too as well. And last year I snuck a row and made my own wine. So made a little bit of Pinot. So that was fun. And this year did a little bit more production.
Uh-huh.
But something I want to touch on just for flavors, kind of, comparing the Petaluma Gap and the Russian River. The Russian River is almost too fruity sometimes to me, too big and lush because it gets so warm
areas do get really
to
warm.
To me, Pinot is such a delicate grape. It's very thin skinned.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets really hot in the summertime, and it, you know, gets too pulpy and juicy, whereas the Petaluma Gap, you get that AC every day, so it really cools off, you know, cools off the heat and kind of lets the flavors really develop and more of an even keel ripeness instead of some of the parts of the Russian River.
Yeah, and it's interesting just to see what's going to happen as things continue to heat up. You know, if they do,
that was part of my consideration when I purchased my ranch. It was not grape country; it was out there west of Petaluma,
dairy country, all
dairy
the way.
Country. There's no vineyards around, and I thought to myself, well, I'll try Pinot Noir. If I can't get it ripe enough, I can sell it for champagne. And there's always climate change, global warming.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be prime Cabernet land someday.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that hurts. We're going to take a little musical break. And I should tell you before we do, the music tonight is my music of Lakeville. You know, I have dozens of songs that remind me of that, the beautiful old Lakeville Road number 3. So that's the connection this evening.
So, Michelle, we're talking about Lakeville.
It's over, not feeling any pain at closing time. But tonight your memory found me much too sober. Couldn't drink enough to keep you off my mind. Let me down and let your memory come around. The one true friend I thought I'd found. Tonight the bottle let me down. Day. But the wine don't take effect the way it used to. And I'm hurting in an old familiar way. Tonight the bottle let me down.
It's Mouthful. We are talking about the Petaluma Gap, a wine-growing area within the Sonoma Coast viticultural area that stretches from southern, southeastern Sebastopol all the way to San Pablo Bay and down into Marin. My guests are Mike Loomis, Paul Clary, and Christopher Herrera. And we have a bunch of really delicious wines. We should probably open another one, or we're not going to get to them. And here comes one of Mouthful's favorite sounds.
All right, I need a second.
What is it that we're opening now?
Fendler Pinot Noir.
Fendler. Okay, this is one I don't know.
This is grown up on Sonoma Mountain, on the western face of Sonoma Mountain, up above on the hill above Petaluma.
Oh, okay. Now I know there've been a lot of really famous grapes from that area. Yes, good sound.
Here's your buddy.
The Vanderkamp Ranch was one of them. They're now growing, I think, all Pinot Noir. Very pretty color. Really pretty color, sort of like liquid garnets.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have the clones on this one. It's kind of a lighter style Pinot, just from clone makeup. Joseph Swan clone, Calera, Pommard, and Dijon 828.
Oh, those are great clones. And you know, I prefer a lighter style Pinot Noir. I always have. It has that heartbreaking delicacy that I really like. I don't find it wimpy at all. But one little story. I've probably told this before, but I used to judge in some of the big wine competitions. They haven't asked me, so I keep my head down because it's really hard work. But we were walking out after 3 or 4 days of judging. We were walking out of the sweepstake. And the way the sweepstake works is all of the wines that get best in class, you know, you judge those in their category, or you judge those to see who's going to get best of show. And there was one, and I never tried to figure out who, I wonder who made this. I would just taste the wines and judge them. And there was one, it was very delicate Pinot Noir, but it had everything that I think a Pinot should have. It had that pinescence. It had that taffeta on satin or taffeta on velvet mouthfeel. And I voted for that one for the red sweepstakes. It didn't win. And as we're walking out, the famous, who I love, Rich Thomas, he's
Godfather
walking out.
Viticulture.
And he says, well, I just want to know who voted that number one wine in. That was the wimpiest wine I've ever tasted.
Rich is not known for loving Pinot Noir.
No, and it was fun. I didn't have the confidence then to say, hey, Rich, it was me. But later I did, and I told him, and we both had a good laugh. But as it turns out, it was Gary Farrell. Before, it was, I think, one of the last wines he made at Davis Bynum before he got his winery. But I always think, that is my style, and I love that. Have you all ever tasted Copland Creek?
Yeah.
Yeah, Don Baumhefner.
Don Baumhefner.
Yeah.
He hasn't been with Copland Creek, though, for quite a while.
Yeah, well, the owner died, and so he lost the vineyard. But I bought a couple... three cases of his they sold him back the wine that was in
inventory.
Yeah, they sold it back to him. So he had, I think, 2004 and 2005 to sell. And I bought a few cases of 2005. And it had that same thing, just that pure, delicate, with all those pretty high notes. He's another of my really favorite winemakers. I think he's really got a brilliant touch with Pinot.
Don gave me my first public tasting at Della Fattoria. He invited me to pour there. That was my first public exposure.
And he conducted the first Pinot Noir tasting I ever went to back in like maybe 89. And he had Pinots from Sonoma County going back to the late 60s. There was a Joseph Swan, I think it might have been a 68. And I still remember, it was at John Ash at the new location that had just opened up. And it was a remarkable tasting. Okay, tell us some more about this wine. This is a beautiful wine. This is really, tell us the name again.
Fenler, it's from Fenler Vineyards, 2009 Pinot Noir, Sonoma Coast.
So I want to see the back of the label, if you could move it over here. I want to see if it says exactly what, does anyone here know where the vineyard is? Or
well, it's up Sonoma Mountain Road.
That's right, you said, oh yeah, west side of Sonoma Mountain Road. It's gorgeous. Really, really gorgeous. Mike, you want a little sip? I don't know. Okay. Oh, that's right, Mike's the engineer. He can't. He can't do that.
Someone's got to, you know, stay busy.
What sort of price ranges are the wines from Petaluma Gap getting? Like, what's this one?
I'm not sure what exactly this one is, but they're typically about $40 to $50 a bottle. Sometimes, let's see, I think the Morris Ranch can be had for under $30.
Yeah, they have some at Costco right now. We're going to get to the Morris Ranch in a little bit, but they have his wines at Costco for, I want to say, right around $20. So not too bad. He usually pops in and out of Costco every couple months.
Oh, interesting. It hasn't been somewhere that I tend to go, but I don't think of finding small boutique wines at Costco.
He's the only Petaluma Gap one that I know that's in there.
And that's Morris.
Yeah.
That's Morris. Well, should we open another one?
What? Speak of the devil.
this Fendler has a lot of cola to me. Like, it's really kind of have that backdrop of cola.
Yeah, backdrop,
on the finish.
Backdrop is the perfect way to put it. I love the way it feels in my mouth. It's really silky, and it's got that forward hint of, I don't know, maybe a little bit of black chanterelle.
Okay, we're going to try again. We broke a cork on that one.
That happens. But he can do it.
Never give up.
Perfect.
Oh. Absolutely.
Oh.
And so this is, what vintage is this one? This is Morris.
2009.
Yeah, this is his middle block. I've worked at this vineyard quite a bit. When I worked for Flowers for 3 years, so I did a lot of their sampling.
And we should say Flowers is up north, is north of Casadero.
Yeah, they're on Seaview Ridge.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
2 miles from the coast. Wonderful.
Pretty high elevation there too.
Yeah, 1,800 feet.
Thank you. This is another really pretty wine.
This is from off of Adobe Road, also East Petaluma.
Oh, Adobe Road, really? Yeah. Where? About
more towards the mission down there.
Oh, okay.
About a mile and a half before the mission on the left.
You mean the Adobe?
Petaluma
Adobe.
Yeah. Petaluma Adobe.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So kind of right in the foothills. He's starting to head up into the hills.
Right.
So we're moving east to west on these ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the color, once again, like liquid garnets. It's another very pretty wine, but I want to hear you guys talk about it rather than
this
me.
One's good. This one seems to have a little more earth to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one is a little more earthy to me. A little more kind of that dank, damp forest.
Damp forest.
Yeah,
a little bit of top, really cool topsoil. So if this wine was a famous person, who would it be? Anybody come to mind?
George Washington.
Well, that's interesting. It's those wooden teeth that make you say that.
Yeah, the oaky teeth.
John Muir.
I like that one.
When I write a weekly wine pairing column. And one of the way, and I don't want to write something normal, you know, I don't want to get all wine geeky. Partly because, you know, there's enough people that do that, and enough people that do it way, way better than I do. And I just found that I can taste a wine and then just let my imagination go. And, you know, I might end up with Vivian Leigh in her taffeta morning clothes in Gone with the Wind, or... This one is moving a little more towards Gary Cooper. Gary Cooper maybe in a pinstripe suit.
Okay.
although sometimes I go more towards musicians and singers and that sort of thing. It has a little bit of Brian Ferry about it as well. So, you know, that's just how I think.
Well, I know from the soils, just... working at Flowers, I got to see so much of the Petaluma Gap, and that's kind of what propelled me into learning so much about the Gap.
Mm-hmm.
Morris Ranch is more of adobe clays.
More adobe soil, yeah.
Thick, really, that don't drain too well.
Yeah, hard to dig, too. Yeah.
Terrible when it rains and you're trying to walk. It adds about 10 pounds to your legs. Each step you take, you gain another pound or so. Whereas the Fendler that we just had is more of a... kind of rockier soils as you move up into the Sonoma Mountain.
Better drainage.
Yeah, more drainage, more volcanic soils, higher in iron. Whereas as you get more on the Lakeville and kind of adobe side of things, you're in that clay.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas Paul's Ranch, you're kind of away from the clay, more into some marine sediment, more kind of interesting soils. I think kind of on the eastern side of Petaluma, you get that adobe.
Yeah, you get a lot of the adobe. Now, your grandfather's ranch there in southeast Sebastopol, are you getting still the Goldridge soils, or is that too far?
Correct, yeah. The Goldridge soils actually run into Petaluma.
Oh, they do?
Yeah,
okay, I didn't know
there's
that.
A lot of it that runs kind of on the higher hills in Petaluma,
mm-hmm.
All the way down to Chelina Valley from what I've seen.
Okay, and Goldridge Am I right in thinking it has a high, what is it, sound content?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's easier to work the gold-rich soil, isn't it?
It's fluffy. Much easier, it's great for, I mean, his garden is always outperforms my garden just because, you know, that soil,
he can work. Soil.
Yeah, and I live in Pengrove and I have adobe, so.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm rototilling for a day when he rototills for 5 minutes.
So while we're tasting these really extraordinary wines, let's talk about the event that's coming up. It's coming up next Saturday, January 26th at Mystic Theater, McNear's Mystic Theater. It's not a really long event, 2 hours and 6:30 to 8:45, and 15 wineries, vintners, and pouring. So what else do we know about it?
Yeah, there's also, it actually runs longer, the wine tasting portion.
Oh, okay.
And the food will be served from 6:30 to 8:45.
Okay.
Then there's no host bar and live music and dancing.
Oh, wow. So, it's a real party.
It's a party.
Cool.
It's the second annual one too. Uh-huh. So this is last year was a really good success. So this year we're even more excited than last year. Last year was kind of we put it together last minute. This year we've had a little more planning and a little more thought go into it. So we're really excited about it.
How would the tasting be set up physically? Because I'm trying to think. It's like, well, they can move out some of the chairs, but not all of them. So
right, the central portion of the theater is three tiers that have. Removable seating.
Okay.
So we'll set up a few tables in there, and then across in front of the stage, we'll have a few wineries there. On either side of the dance floor, initially, will be the food.
Mm-hmm. And it's Sally Tomatoes?
Sally Tomatoes. There will be pork tenderloin, hand-carved pork tenderloin with plum chipotle sauce, a cold salmon, and a mushroom with truffle sauce. Wild mushroom with truffle sauce dish. There will be local cheeses, hand-passed hors d'oeuvres. So it's basically a meal, quite a bit of wine to taste, and live band, and the entry fee is $40.
Tell us about the music.
Chris, you can address that.
A friend of the board is, they're called the Hots. They're more of a 70s, 80s rock band. So, you know, they're going to play songs like I Shot the Sheriff, you know, fun kind of dance music.
Yeah, 70s, 80s, you can go in all kinds of directions with that. It can be fabulous or... no,
Billy, don't be a hero.
Or not, you could have, you know,
not.
Gang of Four. The Ramones, Elvis Costello.
I think it's party classic rock.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. It's you know, once you've had a good wine tasting, it's nice to kind of wind
it's
the
nice
evening
to have
down.
Have something else to do. Some yeah, dancing, absolutely. So. How are tickets selling?
We're about almost halfway sold, so we have about half the tickets left. Limited tickets just because we don't want to cram everyone in and we don't want people fighting to get be able to enjoy the wines.
Yeah, you know, too crowded and you sort of There's a breaking point. Here comes another wine.
There's the added benefit of since since I'm president, I get the privilege of giving a short speech, but I'll probably start off with some a cappella singing. Last year I did Heard It Through the Grapevine with the
acapella?
Lyrics. A cappella.
Oh, my.
Hey, ask Paul to sing a little bit of that right now, I think.
Wow.
Paul, you ready for a little bit of that?
I can't think of the.
We'll go to our next Lakeville song, and you get ready. See what you want to do for us.
Okay.
A cappella.
Is this place at your command? Can I stay here for a while? Can I see your sweet
woman in you that makes you wanna play this game.
Neil Young was a very big part of my years in Lakeville, and Cowgirl in the Sand was at the heart of that. And it still sounds really good, really good. So we are talking about Petaluma Gap, and we're having a great time on the air and off the air. I still don't know, Mike, I still don't know your role in Petaluma Gap.
I am...
Other than wine opener.
Consumer.
Well, that's a big part of it. I mean, that's definitely important. But consumer, I've been fortunate to live down the street from Paul Clary, who's just makes outstanding wines. And I have a small vineyard
that's
growing in my backyard.
Yeah. Well, and you grow Pinot Noir.
Pinot and Syrah. That's what Paul grew. And
oh, that's right, because you like Syrah for your grill.
Absolutely.
For your tri-tip.
The Petaluma Gap as an organization is a little bit unique among... wine organizations. We have vintners, wineries, associated businesses, and friends of the Gap, which are consumers.
Oh, there you go. I should become a friend of the Gap. I love it so much.
Friends of the Gap get discounted tickets to our events.
There we go. This might be a question you can't answer, and if you can't answer it, it's not a problem at all. I mean, on mouthful, you can say, I don't know. Do you know much about Griffin's Lair?
Sure, Joan Griffin.
Yes.
Joan is our secretary.
Okay, and the reason that I ask is because I lived within walking distance of what became Griffin's Lair, and right across. Also, the Flucchinis, I think, are growing.
Sure.
Wine as well. Are they growing, or are they growing and making?
Both.
Oh, they're doing both.
They're
okay.
Going to be at the Winter Wine, sorry.
Are they? Oh, gosh, maybe I should come.
You definitely should come.
Because that's where I raised my girls, across from the Flucchinis. And one of my main memories of, I mean, I have lots of memories, but this one day, my roommate, people were always coming to Lakeville Road number 3 and dumping cats. You know, it was really sad. They didn't want a cat. They'd come out there, open the door, and throw the cat out. And I had cats, but I couldn't adopt them all because I'm not a crazy cat lady. But my roommate, who's really into animals, who was really into animals of every kind, she went outside, and there was this cat, sort of a tortoise shell with a lot of gold in it. and it got its had its had somehow found a can of cat food and it, with enough to lick, and it got its head stuck in the can. And my roommate get it, and she's trying to get the can off the cat, and finally the cat goes limp and it goes unconscious. And Andy Flucchini at that point, he did stuff that had to do with welding. I just remember seeing the flashes, and he had those glasses on, and she ended up running into, you know, his little facility, and he got metal cutters, and he cut the can off of the cat, and the cat got some oxygen. It perked up, it jumped out of her arms and ran off. So that's one of my big memories of living at Lakeville. It was a very dramatic moment. But tell us about Griffin's Lair, because I've communicated with Joan. I would really love to have Joan on the program at some point.
Well, I think Joan is probably listening right now.
Cool. Hi, Joan.
Joan sells to, among others, PAX and Arno Roberts.
Okay.
And is Griffin's Lair is well known and admired for their Syrah.
Oh, for their Syrah. Okay.
Yeah, they also grow Pinot Noir, but they've gotten a lot of acclaim for their Syrah.
Now, does Syrah need more heat than Pinot Noir, or am I just off the mark on that?
It needs more time than Pinot Noir.
It needs more time, okay.
Yeah, because I grow Syrah and Pinot Noir side by side. Mm-hmm. We harvest our Pinot Noir. In most places, they harvest Pinot Noir as early as late August into September. We harvest our Pinot Noir in late October. We've harvested
Pinot in late October. Wow.
Pinot in late October. The latest I've harvested Pinot Noir is November 2nd. And the Syrah usually comes in about 3 weeks later, three to four weeks later. So it's not that it needs more heat in a cool climate.
It just needs longer time. It needs longer time.
Uh-huh. And you're going to get, if you have more heat, it really produces a different wine. Mm-hmm. More jammy, more... The cool climate ones are more austere. They show more minerality, more complexity.
Those are really good qualities in wine.
More akin to a Northern Rhone, a classic Northern Rhone.
And those Northern Rhones are some of the most food-friendly wines in the world. And I remember quite a long time ago, when Syrah was really just getting its start in California, I remember talking to Gary Farrell, and I was not a fan of some of the Syrahs. They were coming out of really warm areas, and he said, just wait. He said, pay attention to the cool climate Syrahs, and that will change your perception. And he was right.
Yeah, unfortunately, the public hasn't yet caught up with Syrah yet. And I think that Syrah is probably the biggest bargain in a fine red wine.
Really?
Because of that. Because the public hasn't embraced them, the prices don't really reflect the value that the quality that's there in the cool climate Syrahs. I think there's nothing better than a mouthful of lamb followed by a cool climate Syrah. That is heaven. That's heaven. And there's a saying that goes around among winemakers who make Syrah, commenting on the public's disregard, which probably comes from inexpensive Syrahs or Shiraz Australia.
Yeah.
There's a saying, what's the difference between syphilis and Syrah? The answer being, you can get rid of syphilis.
Oh, my gosh. I had not heard that. So what are we drinking right now, Mike? Not the one you're pouring right now, but the one you poured while we were listening to Neil Young.
That was
Zapaltis.
Oh, that's right, with that really interesting label.
Yes.
And the vintage is, it's Zapaltis, the 2008 La Cruz Vineyard, Sonoma Coast. And where is La Cruz Vineyard?
That is off of Lakeville.
Oh.
Your wonderful
there
Lakeville.
We go.
And it's actually, La Cruz Vineyard is part of the Keller Estate winery.
Oh, that's right.
And the La Cruz Vineyard is the higher vineyard. So they have two vineyards. One's kind of the lower part around the winery. And then they have one on the top of the hill.
Okay. Yeah, and Keller Estates is an interesting place. It has a tasting room.
Yes.
Is it it's one of the only tasting rooms out there, or the only tasting room in Lakeville.
Yes, yeah.
And the owner is from Mexico?
Yep.
With a huge vintage car collection?
Absolutely.
He actually, very nice. How he got his start was he was making dashboards for cars. That's how he made a lot of his money, is he was a manufacturer for car clips. And so he would manufacture the dashboard and has a wonderful collection of Mercedes. Beautiful Mercedes.
And a lot of them are there in...
The winery, yeah.
The winery, yeah. I had Brian Griffith, who used to work here and is now the morning guy on The Crush. He worked there for quite some time. So I haven't been out there. When I went, they hadn't opened their... there's that sound. They hadn't opened their tasting room to the public yet.
Yeah, they're open on Saturdays and Sundays.
Oh, just on the weekends.
For tastings, yeah.
Okay, okay. Okay, so what are we pouring now?
This is Armagh.
A-R-M-A-G-H, and it's the Syrah. So I have to finish my Pinot.
Okay.
Gail's my cousin. Hi, Gail. I know you're out there listening.
This is so good. This is to me, it's a lot like Paul Clary's Syrah.
Here we go.
Very similar.
Can't hear you.
Okay, there we go.
These two, we've got two Syrahs. We've got my Syrah and Armagh. And they're both from the western reaches, the cooler parts of the Petaluma Gap. Armagh is in Chelino Valley, about 3 miles southwest of my own vineyard, which is...
Really? That's all?
Yeah.
It's okay. Actually less than that, I think. It's just
on the crow on the as the crow flies, right?
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah. Driving is longer, but as the crow flies, it's shorter.
Well, it's probably at least 2 miles.
Okay. And it's where Mimi Luberman's Windrush Farm is. And, you know, she raises lamb, she has wool, and every, you know, I know her primarily because, well, every year she does a benefit for the Sonoma County Book Festival in, I think, July, sometimes in August. So, and it's really a beautiful rustic place out there in Chelino Valley Road, sort of one of those hidden in plain sight places.
I love West Petaluma.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. So this is your
This is Armagh.
Armagh.
Black cherries and pepper finish. Cherries, though, and
cigar box, really rich in that wood.
Oh, right.
Blackberry.
Mm. Blackberry, yeah.
But definitely some of that black pepper, which is one of the qualities I really like. Definitely a good wine with tri-tip.
Yeah, this is your barbecue wine.
This is it right here. Yep.
Also, though, I think people should look to Syrah with skirt steak. I'm a huge, huge fan of skirt steak, and I think it's probably the most concentrated beef flavor of any sort of beef, and it really goes beautifully with a wine like this.
I think Syrah goes beautifully with any roasted, grilled meats, game. It's beautiful. It actually goes well with roasted vegetables as well.
Sure. Oh, sure. Roasted sweet potatoes would be a great match.
The pepper is such a match for beef. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a lovely one. It has a beautiful texture. You can really tell, I think, that you can see those cool climate qualities. Yeah, really nice. Really, really nice. What's the alcohol in this? If anyone has eyes that can read that small. I mean, exactly. What do they have to do? Make it like 4 points?
It is 14.6.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking it was a little bit higher than some of the other wines we've had. But they really do. They make the alcohol percentage so tiny. Looking at the Fender, I think it's 7 point type.
Just reading nowadays, once you hit 45.
Is that the cutoff?
I don't know. I woke up one morning at the age of 45, and suddenly I couldn't read the ticker tape feed at the bottom of the news.
Oh.
And it was like that. It was like, but that's a subject for another day.
Yes. And it just means you get to you have another fashion element. You get attractive glasses. Fashion possibilities that you don't have in your 20s and 30s.
Absolutely.
Speaking of fashion possibilities, I did want to tell you, this is so off topic, but I have to tell you anyway. If you missed the launch, is that the right way, of Downton Abbey's third season... which came 2 weeks ago on Channel 9 KQED. Tonight, KRCB is showing the first and second episode. They run together like one long episode, starting at 9 to 11. So if you missed the start of Downton Abbey, you have another chance tonight. So there you go.
Thank you for sparing us the mystery. Has been solved.
My wife will watch. She's a big fan of Downton
Abbey. Yeah. And I mean, if nothing else, even if you don't care about the plot, just watching for the clothes. I mean, there's just nothing like Edwardian and post-Edwardian fashion. It is
I found an internet source for that. But I can't. It escapes me right now.
You mean for buying
for
Edwardian fashion?
Fashion, yeah.
Oh, I have several.
Okay, you're ahead of me.
But you know, I'll search again. But no, there was actually a store in Sebastopol that was selling clothes that were totally inspired by Downton Abbey. I have two dresses. Anyway, there you go. We're going to take another really quick musical break, and we'll be back with the final segment about Petaluma Gap. It's Mouthful. It's almost the end of Mouthful. That was, of course, Emmylou Harris. There's Mouthful's favorite sound. And we are pouring Clary Sauvignon Blanc. No. Duh. What's wrong with me?
Clary Ranch Syrah.
I don't know why I said Syrah. Sauvignon Blanc. And it's our last one of the evening. This has been really fabulous wines from Petaluma Gap. It's really one of my favorite non-Appalachians in Sonoma County. But lovely wines. And the event is coming up next Saturday, January 26th. How do people get tickets?
They can go to TicketWeb. They can go to the PetalumaGap.com.
PetalumaGap.com.
Yeah,
and then click through.
And MysticTheater.com, too.
Okay. And is there a phone number people can call to get tickets?
There is. It's 707-765- Give me one.
Yeah, we'll get there.
2-1-2-1. That's for McNears.
Okay. And so 707-765-2121. It is next Saturday night. It's $40. Dinner, wines, and dancing.
Dancing,
you know. $40. It's a great deal. So tell us, Mike, this is your Syrah.
Paul,
I know that.
That's all right. Yeah, this is a combination of SH1, a Shiraz 1, and a Syrah 174. And my ex-wife gave this the name, which I've since dropped, but I love it. Since it's in Australia, it's called Shiraz. Mm-hmm. In France, it's called Syrah. At Clary Ranch, it was called Shazam.
You know, this is really a beautiful Syrah. It's really, it's got great palate feel, and it's just really pretty. It's really pretty. This,
thank
to
you.
Me, is what a cool climate Shiraz should, or Shiraz, whatever, should be. It's really very nice. And it's got, again, to me it has that black pepper finish, but also some white pepper there.
Yeah.
As well. And
really
that's a nice
long,
quality.
Too, on the palate.
Yeah, very long.
I mean, to me, that's something that always stands out about Palimi Gap is they just hold so long on the palate.
Mm-hmm.
They just really kind of linger, and you kind of almost see it evolve over your palate and see mm-hmm. all these flavors start to emerge.
If people want more information about Petaluma Gap, is the best source petalumagap.com?
Yeah. Or they can call Chris or me at home.
let's not do that.
But there are phone numbers on the contact part of the website. And I think website, you know, it shows, you know, who's involved and that sort of thing. Or you can go down Saturday night and taste wines and pick up business cards.
Absolutely. I think the best way is to come in Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much to all three of you. Let me thank you specifically. And I can't remember. Here we go. It's Christopher Herrera. I just wanted to get things exactly right. Paul Clary and Mike Loomis. Thanks so much to all
thank
of you,
you
for
thank
doing
you
this
for
at the
you.
Last awesome. Minute. And, you know, let's all raise a glass to Petaluma Gap. They are making some really fine wines in Sonoma County.
Cheers. Thank you so much Cheers. For having us.
You bet. And thanks as well to Mouthful's engineer, Mike Young.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thanks Mike.
Really appreciate it. And meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour.
Story. Well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Got some beans and good cornbread. Listen to what the preacher said.